times a year. Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Pierre LaFon Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And Sansum Clinic, whose multi-specialty team of medical professionals have been providing quality care to you and your family for 98 years. And we're here today with Terry Jory, a candidate for Santa Barbara City College, Mesa District 2. Thank you for joining us.
City Council.
What did I say?
College.
Well, you know why I said that? Because I used to be involved with City College.
Oh, what did you do?
I was the president of the Santa Barbara City College Foundation for a number of years.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I can't get it out of my mind.
That's a great thing, and City College is great for our area.
Yeah, and, well, there's some debate about that. You know, I'm an advocate for City College, but there are people who live on the Mesa that find some of the students not exactly great neighbors.
Well, I think, so I'm also working on that, so I do a lot of things, but I'm also on the Neighborhood Task Force at City College just for that reason, because I am president of our Mesa neighborhood, and I do listen to all my constituents, and one of them is that the students are not good neighbors, and so we're working on that. In fact, today, 5 to 7, we're doing the Mesa Common Table. Are you familiar with the Common Table?
No, I'm not.
So the Common Table started as Lois and Walter Capp's project after the Montecito debris flow. And they felt like they needed somebody, that people needed somewhere just to go. And they put a big, long table down Coast Village Road. They didn't know if anybody would come. You bring your own food. You just go sit. You talk to your neighbors, and it was packed. They did it on State Street, West Side, Carpinteria, Isla Vista, and today we're doing the Mesa Common Table. And it's a good time because I do want to give our sentiments and condolences from myself and my family to the boat that went down. And we're hoping that we've heard from a lot of people that people just want to be with community and come out. So it's tonight at 5 o'clock. 5 to 7 at La Mesa Park.
That's great. You know, there's something about being in a different environment. When we were evacuated for 30 days, we ended up in a hotel with a lot of people from our neighborhood that had never said hello to me before.
Yeah.
But when we
yeah.
were all in the same position, all in the same place, they became friendly, and we all became friendly.
Yeah.
And so something about being in a tough, difficult situation brings the best out in people.
Exactly. And I'm president of our Mesa neighborhood, and part of what we do is getting neighbors to know one another, because I hear that all the time. Oh, I don't even know my neighbor. And one of the programs that I created and developed is called Mesa Safe. Again, it was a response to the fires and the debris flow. We have a village hall meeting once a month, and it was a Tuesday, I know, because the debris flow happened on Monday, and we invited the firefighters to come and just give us an update on the fires. And the debris flow happened Monday. Tuesday was the meeting, and we didn't think they were going to show up, and they came. We all knew that the debris flow happened and that it was bad, but I don't think any of us really knew how serious it was. They came, they were up all night. And I said, I'm so surprised that you're here. And they said, Terry, you have 17,000 people on the Mesa, including when the students are there. And you have 3 firefighters. We thought it's really important. You are the help till help arrives. I know people think that the first responders will be there to help you, but it's actually you and your neighbors are the first to respond. You are the help till help arrives. So that propelled me into action. I'm CERT certified, Community Emergency Response Team. I got my neighbors CERT certified. We have a door-to-door campaign where we go door-to-door and get neighbors prepared till first responders arrive. And one of those is they get to meet their neighbors. We have a thing you fill out so you know your neighbors, so you know who are the most vulnerable, who are the elderly, who need help first, and who can help. Who's a doctor, who's a nurse, who's a firefighter. We have little magnets you put on your refrigerator. This is all with the support of the firefighters. This comes from them, and some of them Omni did. And you put pictures of your family, so when we go in, we know who we're looking for. And we also have a big okay sign to put in the window if you're okay, so we don't waste our time, and we go straight to the next house. And all of it's in English and Spanish. Yeah, it's
so,
really great.
You have certainly a great deal of empathy. And one of the things we talk about here a lot, because we talk about education for teens, is a lack of empathy among a lot of people. And do you find that when you organize something like the SAFE program, that you actually help people find that missing empathy? That is, that you're actually educating them?
Yes, actually. So this is what I find. There's a lot of people who live in their own world. Everybody's busy, they're going, they're doing. But they really appreciate when you go to their house. It takes 2 or 3 minutes. And they always say, gosh, I don't know my neighbors, but I'm really happy because I get to know my neighbors. And there's people who live alone. And I think all of us are in a vulnerable situation right now because we've all been affected by the climate change, if you want to take it to that area, whether it's the fires, the debris flow. And we need to work together. The Mesa, knock on wood, was exceptional this time because we didn't experience what everyone else did. But we still need to be prepared. And I think that people do show their empathy. And that's one of my goals as president of our Mesa neighborhood, is to make community. And it doesn't just fall from the sky. You really have to go out and make that happen, whether it's with Mesa Safe Program, whether it's fun events. You have to go do it. And not everybody's on board initially, but then they do get on board.
You know, when we first started talking before the show, you, I don't know how you guessed this, but you guessed I was not from Santa Barbara. you caught my accent. And, you know, this is not just this lack of knowing your neighbor. It's not just about living in a big house. It's also true in a city. I lived in a 40-story building where we all took the same elevators every day, and I didn't know half the people in the building because there's sort of a culture, certainly in New York, of not looking at the person next to you. And so there is a sort of, and it's not just because we're not friendly. It's just that people trying to they don't want to intrude on other people. So I think what you're doing is great because you're telling them, look, we're not intruding. We're here to help each other.
Yeah, well, two things. First, I want to ask you, do you find it different, New York culture, and then when you moved here to Santa Barbara, do you find it more friendly and you know your neighbors better, or do you find it to be the same?
I find that that Santa Barbara is much different from New York, but not the way I expected it to be. In New York, like probably L.A., you are what you do. In Santa Barbara, you are what you are. And so people aren't looking for your business connection. They're looking for whether or not you're a nice person. And I retired very early. I retired at 50. And when I walked down the street at 11:30 on Madison Avenue as a retiree, I looked like the only people I saw that were my age were stroke victims and people looking for a job. Here, I'm one of the oldest people because everyone's retired. So there's a sort of ability in Santa Barbara to be free of what it is that you do as opposed to and people like you or not because of who you are and what you are about, not about what your job is, which I find to be
refreshing.
Really refreshing. So, I don't know how you'll have time to be on the city council. You have so many things. I mean, I'm afraid that if you get elected, you're going to give up all these great things you're doing.
Oh, absolutely not. But I also wanted to add about young people and education and empathetic. This is where I want to bring in some human trafficking.
Yes, well, we're going to do that as soon as we come back from our first break. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Terry Jory, a candidate for Santa Barbara City Council, Mesa District 2, and not Santa Barbara City College, although she is a great advocate for Santa Barbara City College. So before the break, we were talking about empathy and how working with kids can really pay off. So what you were saying about this task force that you were on?
So I am, I'm known to empower members of our community, and one of those populations I empower are survivors of human trafficking. I serve on the District Attorney Human Trafficking Task Force, chairing legislation, and I think we held a forum in November at the Faulkner Library, and it was so packed because people don't know that we have this problem.
Okay, I don't know. So go step back. What is human trafficking in Santa Barbara look like?
Human trafficking in Santa Barbara affects young people up to 24 years old. They're mainly from Santa Barbara. They're our neighbors. They're not people from other countries. They're our neighbors. Kids that our kids go to school with, and it's human trafficking is the fastest growing criminal activity right now. The criminals are moving from drugs and firearms to human trafficking.
So how does it work?
People. And let me tell you why. Because people can be used over and over again. And what they do, they find it, and it's mostly a woman problem. And there can be males, but it's basically majority women. And they find vulnerable women. They find vulnerable girls who don't have self-worth. and they take them and they groom them, is what they call it. And they, and it takes as long as they want. And the trafficker, we don't call it a pimp anymore, we call it a trafficker, takes them to movies, takes them, buys them food, buys them clothes, and really gains their trust. And then they say, okay, I want you to go meet this person. And that could take a month, 6 months, 8 months. And then they say, okay, I want you to go and be with my friend and make sure my friend gives you some money. And that's how it begins. And then they're just clued in. And the woman thinks that this person loves her. And that's where it gets very difficult, because once you get in the life, it's very difficult to get out. And I said it can be your neighbors, but it's also very prominent in foster care. And what we're doing right now, what we're trying to educate the public. And it also happens, so that's one population. Let me just tell you about the other population, and then I'll tell you what we're trying to do to help. The schools are working with us, and we're working with the schools. It's very important. And it also, it does go to older populations, and they're usually bused in, and they're from, we call it the corridor between LA and San Francisco, and they're bused in, and they do what they do, whether it's with their farm workers or whatever. Wherever they need to go, and it's a really hard industry to crack, very difficult. But what we found was that the best way to get somebody out of the life, out of trafficking, the most important way is to post signs of a hotline, of a crisis hotline, because the girls say, oh, if I would have known where to call, I would have gotten out sooner. And so that's our best way to get them. And, you know, it could be they have that one moment where they're like, okay, I'm going to get out. I know what's happening. Legislation was just passed in Sacramento that now gives local entities like our task force or the city council to be able to craft legislation to enforce that the businesses post signs, and if they don't post the signs, to have some kind of penalty. Where before, we had legislation that was passed, I think about 7 or 8 years ago, but there was never any enforcement. So they'd put the sign up and then they would take it down. So now we just got this legislation passed, so that's what I am doing as chair of the legislation of human trafficking, is getting the businesses I've talked with, our business, the licensed businessing, and we have all kinds of businesses that will be posting these signs, and of course law enforcement will be in there enforcing it, and penalties, and we're going to try and hit it hard. So that's what we're doing right now.
You know, in terms of education, I think the public needs to be educated, because I'm kind of shocked by this whole story. I haven't seen any stories about this, in at least involving Santa Barbara.
Yes, and that's the other thing that we're doing. We are educating the public. And the little bit of education that we do, like at the Faulkner Library and different places, we go out and educate as much as we can. We also have an education committee that goes out. And the more they're getting educated, the more difficult it is for us, because we're learning more. The public needs, this is where, again, when you talk about empathy, and this is why I wanted to bring this up. If you see something, say something, very important. If you see a young woman or even an older woman sleeping on the sidewalk who is not homeless but looks scared, call. If you see the businesses that have their windows are covered up, call. report that business. If you know somebody is working long, long hours, because it's not just sex trafficking, it's labor trafficking also. And it can be a multitude of businesses. If there's any doubt in your mind, just say it, because the best thing to do is for us to say, no, check it out and say, no, it's nothing. But we need to know, because there were 150 women, 24 and under, who we have gotten that were trafficked.
What got you interested in this?
I'm also I counsel survivors of sexual assault at Standing Together to End Sexual Assault. About 3, maybe it was 4 years ago, I had some clients that I thought, what is going on here? Are you being human trafficked? And at this time, I didn't know about it. And it was sort of just coming. And I called around and found the Human Trafficking Task Force that had been around already for a couple years. Got on that, and sure enough, these women were human trafficked. And how that can happen is they play games on the internet and they meet different people. And that's how in my case, that happened.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton, and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa, and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
Sansom Clinic, we're there at the beginning.
And all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansom Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Terry Jory, a Santa Barbara City Council hopeful for Mesa District Number 2. And before the break, we were talking about human trafficking. And you said many years ago women would come to you in your job. What was the job? What were you doing then? What is your, you were doing, you had a counseling service, or what was it that you were doing?
Oh, when I was, I counsel sexual assault survivors. Is that what you're talking
yeah.
about?
Were you, is that a business? Or
I counsel at Standing Together to End Sexual Assault, formerly Rape Crisis Center.
Oh.
I'm a crisis counselor there.
Oh, that's very good. Good. My wife used to be a board member. It's a great.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah. So that's where I first became aware of this issue here. And I didn't know what was going on with these particular clients.
So I was suspect that you're not going to be a victim. You're also a fourth degree black belt.
Yes.
So our listeners don't know this, but we're filming this thing. So do you think you and I could wrestle and because I think it would make for a better video.
Yeah.
I'm taller than you, so how would I do against you?
Oh, nobody can do well against me, I'll tell you that. I may be tiny, but I'm mighty. And that's my secret weapon. But the thing is, I tell people I'm a fourth degree black belt, not because, ooh, watch out. Maybe after your first degree, you think, ooh, watch out, I'm a black belt. But after that, as you continue to train and study, you become very disciplined. And you learn to inspire. And you learn to give back to your community. And it becomes a way of life. The discipline becomes a way of life. And you learn to complete your missions. And that's what I do. I have my missions. I complete them. One of my missions right now is to win City Council District 2. And I plan on winning, and I will do that.
So when we talk about kids, and we're, you know, AHA is involved with kids that, you know, there are issues that just to be a teen is really difficult. What do you think of martial arts as an activity for kids as they go through a difficult part of their life?
Yeah, I think it's great. So part of a program that I also created is called DFWM Self-Defense. Don't with me. Mm-hmm. And it's a workshop. It's three levels, but if you only do the first one, you have all the tools that you need. And I created it, and I go around. I do it in the city, and I go around the country and the world. And it's my way of giving back, and I make sure that people and the kids and the women and all the genders I teach feel comfortable in their own skin. And they are different people when they walk out of that room than when they first walk in. And they feel so empowered. And I wanted to create this program because I had many of my women friends come and talk to me about themselves and about their kids. And they'd say, oh, when my husband or my boyfriend leaves, I barricade the door. What? And these are women who are tough and who I think, wow, you? And I kept hearing it over and over again. So it took a long time to create, because it was just 1 hour. To create 1 hour, you learn a lot, but it's fun and it's you can cognitively process it easy. And if you were ever in a situation, you would be able to recall it very easy. And so I do that. Again, it's English and Spanish around the world, and I teach it to vulnerable communities.
Yeah, I know a kid who's 11 years old, 12 years old, and he has one of the only kids in town that has a black belt. And one of the things that he said he's learned is respect for the sensei, whatever the person's mm-hmm. name is. And it gives the kids a sense of respect for people. And he's less likely to get into a fight than most kids, which is sort of the irony, but it's also, I guess, part of the philosophy of martial arts.
Part of the philosophy and discipline. And I begin each class and I end each class as we bow to each other, respect to yourself, respect to each other, and respect to me as the teacher.
So what's Poise Productions?
Poise Productions I'm a small business owner. Yeah. And that's my production company. And I produce health and educational videos for women and people around the world and the country.
So let me make a list here. You're involved in 40 things. And I understand you can't finish the show because you've got some appointments. So with all that's going on, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever watched Channel 17. Watched a city council meeting, but I would last on the city council about 3 or 4 minutes. All the things you're doing is so exciting, and then you look at a city council meeting on TV, and it's like, I'm going to blow my brains out. Do you know what you're getting yourself into?
I do know what I'm getting myself into, and I do all these things because I have a lot of passion and energy, and You need someone. We need fresh leadership. We need to take the city in a different way. And
so, which way? Let's go through the what do we need to do as a city? Let's start with State Street.
Great.
What are we going to do about State Street?
Right now, I believe we're at a crossroads with all the empty storefronts. I want to move forward with a plan that will invigorate our local economy by allowing businesses to open their doors more quickly. As a small business owner, I know that it takes hard work and determination to be successful, but it also takes revenue and a middle class. And we need to get those storefronts filled by streamlining the permit process. I've talked to several business owners and businesses on State Street who are just waiting for their leases to be up, and they're out of there because they don't want to deal with the permit process. And several potential businesses who don't want anything to do with State Street, they'll be anywhere but there. And we need to change that reputation of Santa Barbara right now and stop that hemorrhaging. Because look, it's not a zero-sum game. We need to make the permitting process effortless so businesses can open their doors quickly, create jobs. The workers can then put the money back into the economy, and our community can start thriving again.
Now, what's so interesting, I don't think there are any vacancies on the Mesa that I know of. Mm-hmm. Number two, Coast Village Road, which still has a lot of challenges because of traffic and because of the problems that we had during the debris flow. I was at a store on Saturday, and the streets were absolutely jammed. There were tables in front of every little tiny restaurant.
Coast Village Road?
Coast Village Road, mm-hmm. And the Mesa. So you see a community,
yes.
And even the Funk Zone is jammed. So it's not like we don't spend money here. It's just that something's wrong with State Street.
It's wrong because there's no community down there. There's no community. And again, as president of our Mesa neighborhood, we work hard to make it a community, just like Coast Village Road and just like the Funk Zone. It's a community, and we have to bring that same community to State Street. We need to think big with vision. And another thing that I think would be great is to have a pedestrian promenade on State Street. Have it, anchor it, like we do successful shopping centers. One is the harbor, right, the pier, and anchor it to the Arlington and have that as a pedestrian mall. And the businesses will just do great because right now the problem is people can't buy their merchandise because they have no way to carry it to their cars. We can have a bus, a one-lane bus, just for the bus that goes up, and when it gets to Sola, one goes right, one goes left, and they can stop at each parking lot and drop them off and have jitneys. And besides the nuts and bolts, we have to bring fun.
Yeah. And by the way, we're not reinventing the wheel here. Palo Alto has a couple of malls just like this. Even San Luis Obispo is ahead of us, which is pretty sad that we can't even. San Luis Obispo has done a fantastic job in this area. Boulder, Colorado, there are places.
Yes.
That we could look at and say, so this ties into another issue, which is a two-part issue, which is workforce housing. And, you know, one of the solutions that have been talked about for State Street is to put housing down there, which kind of goes along with the issue that employers are having a difficult time hiring people because they can't afford to live here. So what do you envision that we need to do, both? Is there a meeting here for the housing crisis and State Street that
yes,
we could talk
yes,
about?
Yes, absolutely. Life should be easier for everybody. If you work in our community, then you should have access to a safe and affordable home to live in. Previously, the redevelopment agency provided beautiful, affordable homes. Since it's been abolished, the city's failed to create a viable solution forward, and we need to change that. With the city knowing it needs to build affordable housing for our working families and the state mandating high-density accelerated units, we need to move forward, and we need to move forward now. It's very important. We can work together simultaneously building workforce housing and keeping the character of our neighborhoods. And we also need to protect our affordable housing. Affordable homes must be replaced when developers use city-provided incentives. Really important. And it's also important that we also include affordable homes in the rental housing, which City Council is moving in that direction with the inclusionary rule, but it was stuck in the Planning Commission for years. So it's really, really important. We need fresh leadership. We need people with a vision who can bring people together and move forward and make that happen.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Terry Jory, a candidate for Mesa District 2 for the Santa Barbara City College. And we're talking about
solutions.
I can't help it. I'm sorry. She's going to run for both the Santa Barbara City Council and City College. It's a double. Don't you already, if you're the city council person from the Mesa District, don't you automatically become a trustee of City College?
No. Right. That's separate.
Since we're at City College right now, I can't help myself. What about the whole issue of student housing? There was this whole issue of the person that developed a building right on the corner of City College and Cliff, where apparently, as I read, they were basically renting beds as opposed to rooms, and there was some pushback in the community about overpopulation, which is sort of ironic because there's a shortage of housing. But how do we make sure that whatever housing is built for students is consistent with what the community wants?
Right now, there's a fundamental concern that City College students are facing housing and food insecurity. And yes, City College does impact our local housing market, but not just on the Mesa. Yes, we need more housing for students, but we also need more housing for staff and teachers and police and firefighters and construction workers and public and private employees. The question is how much, where, and who pays for it? City College is conducting a comprehensive study in the fall of the realities of City College students' lives. And when that data becomes available, I'll work with that data and listen to the students and our community and respond in an appropriate and humanitarian way so that everyone who lives, study, and works in our community has a safe place to live and access to quality food.
One of the challenges that anyone on the city council is going to face is, it's not in my neighborhood kind of a syndrome where there's pushback. I remember when City College went for its bond issue a couple of years ago to increase infrastructure by a great magnitude. There was a lot of pushback on the Mesa where people came out and said, we don't want more students here. It's not generally accepted exactly what the community wants.
Right now, the community asked for the student enrollment to go down at City College.
And it did.
And it did go down. Mm. It's gone down quite a bit. Mm. And as a business person, when I first heard people say, oh, the enrollment's going down, that's great. I'd say, really? That's great? But they feel that that helps with housing. Right now, it's down quite a bit. People are telling me that since school started, they can see a difference, that there's parking available. We don't want to get in a position where we build housing and then we don't need it either for City College. Mm-hmm. However, again, we'll see what the data says. As a PhD, I'm very interested in what the data says. I don't think we can just pluck things out of the air or just say, I think this is our problem. We need to have evidence to make sure it's a problem.
So what's your PhD in, by the way? I didn't realize you had a PhD. What's your PhD
yes,
in?
Yes, my PhD is in political psychology.
Oh, so tell me what's going on in the country today. How come everybody hates everybody? Tell me what's going on. How are we going to solve the problem? Forget about it. Let's get off of Mesa District, too.
Okay.
We've got two countries here. What are we going to do?
Believe it or not, this is not a new phenomenon. It just is more intense. I think people are paying attention more. The interesting thing is, because people are paying attention more, people think, oh, more people are voting. Not the case at all. It's people, voting has remained the same. We are more involved because of social media. We think we know more. We think more people are involved, but essentially that's not the same. We are more extreme, and I think, again, it's important for people. That's why community right now is more important than ever.
But de Tocqueville said in 1845, when he came over from France to take a look at American democracy, he said, the only thing I'm concerned about is whether or not America will have an educated electorate, because democracy won't work unless people are educated. So I think part of the problem is you have people who have opinions that they think are facts. And therefore, it's very difficult to have a conversation. There's this sort of I believe that this is the truth. And, you know, what we're seeing in Britain today, they seem to be 6 months ahead of us in self-destruction. They voted for Brexit before our election, and now they're totally imploding. And so, you know, one of the things that is really important, whether it's for the Mesa or whether it's for the country or the world, is to have people sort of take a look at society. You know, you as a scholar of political science know about the atomization of societies, where there is a real issue of whether or not people have become so tribal today that they're not willing to consider any other people's interests. And so they stick to their tribe. They don't look at the country as their place. They look at their, you know, little group of people.
This has been going on. It just didn't happen. People think it didn't happen overnight. It's been going on for years now, sort of culminating for years. We need to agree to disagree. It's really important that we agree to disagree. And it's okay if you disagree with me. It doesn't make me a bad person or you a bad person. And that's part of the mixture and the soup of ideas that makes up democracy. And that's what the great thing about democracy and the democratic principle is, that we have free speech, and you can say what you want to say, you can say what you want to say, and I can say what I want to say. Is there only one right answer? No. My daddy used to always say, there's three sides to the story. Your side, my side, and the truth, and the facts.
I always said if I agreed with you, we'd both be wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, one of the challenges of having a worldview, like I am sure you do based on this discussion, is how do you meld that into spending so much of your time when you're sitting on the city council? How do you reconcile the need to universally work with, in this country at least, everybody and sitting on a local city council? Is there a way to sort of put those two things together? I know you have to start somewhere.
Well, it's not just start somewhere. I believe that all politics is local. And right now, my first foray into grassroots organization was president of our Mesa neighborhood. And I got there. Alice from the Mesa paper wanted to do a story on my daughter, who's a ballerina, who got a scholarship to the Bolshoi Ballet in Moscow. And she wanted to do a story on her for the Mesa paper, recruited me for our Mesa neighborhood. I went, and it was amazing how I could have an impact on my neighbors' lives. And it was so great to see that. And I feel all politics is local, and I can have the most impact close to home.
Well, you're not the first person to say that. When O'Neill said that from Massachusetts 40 years ago, mm-hmm. he also was able to work across the aisles. And so the sort of the paradox is he said all politics is local, but one of the great achievements that O'Neill was able to do as Speaker of the House was to work with the other side. And that's one of the problems that we have here.
And that's one of the great things that I do. I bring all the people I work with, residents, business owners, community leaders, bring together people with divergent views to discuss problems, find consensus, and move forward with a solution. And that's one of my great expertise, and I'm very proud of that I can do that. And that's what I want to take to the city council, and that's the type of leadership we need more of.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education, and believe it or not, we'll be right back with our final segment.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Sansom Clinic, we're there at the beginning.
And all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansom Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone?
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Terry Jory, a candidate for Santa Barbara City Council. And by the way, I just realized three of the words are the same, Santa Barbara City.
Yes.
And then the last word is a C also, council.
You don't lisp, so that's good.
What do you mean, lisp?
Never mind.
Okay. So we talked about your goals and what you would like to accomplish in your first term as a city council member. What are the issues that the people in your community care about?
The most important issue is public safety. Public safety on Cliff Drive. With three elementary schools, City College, and our thriving business district, all kinds of people use mixed modes of transportation, trying to get to their, running across the street, trying to get to their destination safely. Bikes, cars, pedestrians. The problem right now is that it's a danger zone as accidents and fatalities continuously increase. Residents want safe routes for their children to school. They want to be able to walk across the street with their pets, knowing that they won't get harmed. As president of our Mesa neighborhood, we had a village hall meeting last week, and it was an overflowing crowd. And I've been advocating hard for a proposed traffic study on Cliff Drive. And now it's happening. We're getting crosswalks, walkways, and bike paths. And that wasn't the case 2 months ago. 2 months ago, there were no crosswalks. I encouraged everyone to do a letter writing campaign, calling in. We went to all the hearings. I spoke in front of city council, and now we have it.
And you have one lane now. You've shortened the two lanes, too, past Lazy Acres on the way down.
Yes. The bike path will go from Henry's all the way to either City College or Rancheria. And we're not sure if it's going to be a one-way on each side. We voted to have it a two-way. And there'll be several. We have eight crosswalks. And they will finish the study, and they will submit it, and hopefully we'll get it back next probably the beginning of 2020. And as your council member, I will ensure that the public works plan gets completed. And I will also take that to the rest of the city, which is so important to get more bike paths, walkways, alternative modes of transportation, so that we can get our vehicle miles driven down. And we have transportation to work with in the city.
So you told me that you don't do fundraising, but if you wanted to fundraise, do you have a website?
I do have a website. If you'd like to join me, in fact, I'm having a fundraiser on September 14th. You can go to www.vote4terryjory.com. Terry is TERRYJORY.com.
Well, best of luck. You sound like you are way overqualified, which is good because in the past we've had people who were way underqualified.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So despite the fact that you said I still have a New York accent, which is not true, we are going to keep our fingers crossed. Thank you so much for doing all you're doing for the community. Thank you for being here. And thank you for listening to AHA Presents About Education. And we'll see you next week. It's